Lowe's early Black Friday deals are going fast. Don't miss up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. And with Christmas around the corner, you're going to need more string lights, right? Save $4 on GE LED 100-count string lights, now just $5.98. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. Select locations only while supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Previously on No Reserves Radio.
Oh my God, Angelo. Come on. Have some self-respect. The Eagles can't hurt you if you don't constantly pander to them.
Here's the biggest indictment of Dame that I can say. Dame has been so like off this year that Ren went on live air and said Jalen Brunson deserved an all-star start over him.
You are now Angelo DiDalulo.
Do you think it is possible that the management of the Memphis Grizzlies are just buying into the reckless youth movement and they got rid of the one person in the locker room that probably was telling Ja to knock it off?
Because he's taken advantage of me multiple times when I was younger. That sounded bad. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you're correct in that assessment.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to No Reserves Radio. I'm your host, Angelo. Today, we are doing the NFC, not the AFC. I don't want to recall the AFC predictions. So, thankfully, that means we don't have to talk about the Colts today. How's it going, Alex?
Hey, how's it going, guys? How are you, Angelo? Yeah, speaking of the Colts, I actually went and did a bit of shopping for me during this weekend because it's my birthday tomorrow.
Oh, don't you dare fucking
and
sick.
I went ahead and bought some NFL merchandise because one of the stores that I went to had some NFL gear. Single one of the Seahawks gear that they had, I already had. So I kind of had to buy something for myself. So one of the things that I bought was an Indianapolis Colts cap. So don't really like caps all that much. I like the hats much more, like the baseball caps. But the regular, like, how do you call it? The ones with the pale, very straightforward. Those caps I really don't like that much. But this one is nice for display. And then I'll surprise you. You know, I got myself a baseball cap here from an NFL team. And I'll let you figure out, it's one of the teams that we're going to be talking about today. And you will have two guesses to try and find out which team I bought an ad for. I'll tell you that up until next year, you would never caught me dead buying one of these. But I bought it now. Which one is it?
Up until next year?
Up until next year, never in my life I would have bought this hat. But now I'm pretty happy that I own it. Quite good hat.
Well, if it was 2 years ago, I would have said the Jets. Anyway,
no, I would have bought a Jets hat at that time. But actually, like the cap that I bought from the Colts, it was between this one, a Bengals one, or a Jets one. And like, if it was 2 years, I didn't get the Bengals one because I like the Colts one a bit more, the colors and whatnot. But if it was 2 years ago, I would have gotten the Jets cap. But for the baseball cap, which one do you think that I bought?
NFC team.
Yep. You wouldn't caught me dead buying one of these, like last year, the year prior, or the year prior to that one as well.
I'm gonna eliminate anyone in the NFC West because
yes,
you're a Seahawks fan, and it wouldn't be them. It's not the Eagles because I know your hate for the Eagles, so we can eliminate them. Oh my God.
Yeah. Which one is it, Angelo? I think you figured it out.
Don't tell me you bought a Giants cap.
No. Oh, come on, Angelo. Okay. No. It's a team that I've been accused of hating that I don't really hate. I just didn't like one particular thing about them, but now they fixed it. So, hey, I'm
Team Atlanta Falcons.
Nope. Oh my God, Chicago you're really Bears! Blundering it. The Chicago Bears, Angelo. That's it. I got myself a Bears hat. There you go.
Why did you get yourself a Bears hat?
Sort of looked cool, and it was like one of the
sort
few
of
that actually.
Cool? It's a C that's shaped like an oval. What do you mean?
No. This one has the new logo on the bear logo.
Oh, the actual bear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, it's a cool hat. I'll show you a picture afterwards.
Alrighty.
So, yeah, now I have a Chicago Bears baseball cap.
I'm sure you paid more for it than you needed to, too, just like all the Chicago players in fantasy.
I got both hats for 38 euros, which is right around 38 bucks as well. So, I think it was an okay deal. For the two hats, the Bears one and the Colts one. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, had to take advantage of it. And yeah, today we're talking about the NFC, the predictions that we have for the NFC. After Angelo being so disgruntled about his AFC predictions.
Sickening. Absolutely sickening. Everything about it was sickening. The NFC, it was... I apparently drank a lot more Haterade for the NFC than I did the AFC.
Yeah, you hated it so much that we had to take a week off for you to completely digest it.
Yeah, I couldn't. I had to throw up after recording the last episode.
Angelo was sick after his predictions.
It's disgusting. That schedule for the Colts is so fucking soft, dude. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I hope I'm wrong. This is the first time I'm ever going to say this. I hope I'm wrong just so I can laugh at how like bad they fumbled that schedule.
They're not going to fumble it. Because, speaking of news, you asked me about news earlier today. I'll just tell you that Colts GM Chris Ballard has told reporters that Anthony Richardson will be a full go during training camp with no limitations. Anthony Richardson, wheels up.
Stop it.
Oh, buddy, it's time. You know who is wheels down, though? There's one guy that, like, his wheels have completely dropping off. Like, I didn't even think he ever had wheels. You were constantly, bringing up wheels up for this guy. Apparently, right now, he's working as a wide receiver for... with the team right now. And it's your boy. Like, this is the only bit of news that I'll talk about it with the AFC. Your boy, Quentin Johnston, has now been working as a wide receiver four. So he's working behind Ladd McConkey, Joshua Palmer, and DJ Shark.
That's crazy.
Like, I think the plane has crashed.
No, I think this is deception. The Chargers are casting deception. And they're trying to pull us into believing they're not going to use Quentin. I'm not falling for it.
Yeah, they're saying, look, guys, we're going to use DJ Shark. No, gotcha. We're using a much worse player. That's it. Oh, Angelo. Sweet shimmer, summer child. Okay. NFC predictions. Everything's fine. Okay, if you say so. If you say so. Okay, so do you want me to go first on this one?
Who went first in the last one?
You went.
Yes.
Yeah.
You go first.
Okay. Okay, so I will start with the NFC South in this one. So NFC South, I had the Atlanta Falcons winning it, 10-7 record. I think their record is... okay, it's quite soft, actually. Like, they have a few, like, I think the NFC South in general is not going to be all that good. And they have to face them twice. So I think they are by far the best team in the NFC South. And then you add on that they're also playing the NFC West, and you have teams like the Chargers and the Broncos, who we don't expect a whole lot from at this stage. Then you add on that they also played, for example, the Vikings, which is a team that we'll talk about later. They also played the Washington Commanders, which shouldn't be all that great at this time. Not saying for the future, but at this time. But they also faced the Giants. So there's quite a few teams here that should be beatable for them. So I think 10-7 is a pretty good record. They win the division by a landslide because I have every single other team at 6-11. Weird enough. I have the New Orleans Saints 6-11, the Carolina Panthers 6-11, and finally last in the division is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 6-11 because they have the worst divisional record. They have a 2-4, while the Panthers have a 3-3 and the Saints have a 4-2 record.
So we kind of agree. So I have the Falcons winning the division at 11-6.
Okay.
I have the Buccaneers second in the division at 6-11.
Okay.
I have the Saints third in the division at 6-11.
And finally,
the Panthers in the basement at as 3-14.
Oh, 3-14. That's rough. So you're just having them. No. You just have them winning 3 games.
Yes.
So I'm guessing you have them winning games versus the Giants. Versus, I don't even know at this stage, the Broncos maybe, and one more.
The wins come in the division, so I have them beating the Buccaneers and the Saints, and the third one might actually be the Giants.
Okay, got it. Yeah, I also have them winning versus the Giants. I have them winning versus Tampa. I have them sweeping Tampa, actually.
I just don't like them as a team, honestly.
I think there's going to be some room here for improvement. I think the roster still isn't all that great, but I think Dave Canales will be able to work some magic with Bryce Young. To the point in which we might think about Bryce Young again as that good.
Will he have time? Will he have time to throw? Like,
I mean, they improved the O-line, if I'm not mistaken, this past offseason.
We saw what happened.
Yeah, but again, TOC at that time and the head coach at that time didn't really do any service for Bryce Young. But yeah, the O-line wasn't good. They improved it this year. I was trying to find, because I'm fairly certain that they had the all-line players. I'm just trying to figure out which one they were. Those were. Yeah, it was Robert Hunt and former Seattle Seahawks, Damian Lewis. So they added two guards, which are pretty good. Those are two pretty good guards. I remember Damian Lewis being pretty good with the Seattle Seahawks when he played. Not just like out of this world good, but a fairly good player. Could hold his own versus most interior pass rushers. So I think the O-line is improving. I think Dave Canales can and will help out Bryce Young taking this step forward. Plus, they also added Deontay Johnson. They invested in the draft via Xavier Legette, whatever you want to call him. Xavier L. So they made some adds to the offensive line, to the wide receiver core. They also added Jonathan Brooks as a running back that shouldn't be ready to start the season right away, but he's going to play in the second half of the season, like at 100% most likely. So I think this is a team that can be on a up and up. I actually have them winning their last 2 games, sort of like as a team that shows a bit more as the season goes on and on and on. Because I have 4 of the 6 wins that I gave them happen after week 10 or on week 10 forward. So I think they will have some.
I've been burned by Carolina Panthers drafting wide receivers enough that I don't think I have any faith in Legette. I'm not going to lie. I've been burned. I've seen this story before. And then you.
I mean, I don't expect him to be good. I expect him to be a usable player more than Terrence Marshall Jr. and Jonathan Mingo were.
What makes you think that?
I just think that this staff, especially this offensive staff, is going to be more creative in the way that they use their players. And they're going to play to their players' strengths. And they are going to focus on the guy that this regime brought. Like, they're not going to be focused on guys that the previous head coach and whatnot had picked. So I think it's Terrence Marshall Jr. and Jonathan Mingo to the garbage. The focus of this offense will be Xavier Legette, will be Deontay Johnson, will be also Adam Thielen as that veteran presence, will also be Jatavion Sanders as tight end. And then they add on the running backs. They will play with Jonathan Brooks until Jonathan Brooks has 100%. You still have Chuba Hubbard. You still have Miles Sanders that, if deployed correctly, can do more for this team than he did last season. Although I'm not the biggest Miles Sanders guy. I think he is a better player than what he showed last year. So I think the pieces are somewhat there. This team still isn't great, but it has pieces to improve on what they did last season.
They didn't do anything last season, Alex.
Yeah, so they're improving.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you have them. What was their record last season? They won 2 games, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I have them improving by 1 game.
By 1. I have them improving by 2. Part of the reason is because I think Tampa Bay will decrease. I actually have them sweeping Tampa Bay. So I just think that Tampa Bay is going to take a step back. I think they played to their like best-case scenario potential last season. And I think a step back is in the books for them at this stage.
Bad. I have them winning. I have them winning 3 games. And you're like, oh, Angelo, that's not good enough, and that's an improvement from last year.
It is an improvement. I just think that it's going to be a bigger improvement.
You have more faith.
Because last season it was truly a disaster, and the coaching was a disaster. Everything was a disaster, I think, from top to bottom. And I think coaching will go a long way here.
I'm not going to get hurt by Carolina again. No, no, no. No, you cannot fool me.
Okay, so we're mostly in line that it's going to be Atlanta than the rest, basically.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
And you also seem to agree that Tampa Bay is going to take a massive step back.
Yeah, I think there's no way they repeat that, what they did last year.
Yeah, I think it was just like best case scenario. And it worked out in their favor. Everything fell right for them. They got a great season out of Baker. Dave Canales worked a lot of his magic. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin were healthy for a good chunk of the season, if not all of it. And yeah, Rashad White had a pretty solid season. I think all of those things will probably go down apart from the Mike Evans. Mike Evans seems to be the only constant whenever the Tampa Bay Buccaneers go and play football. But the rest, I think, will take probably a step down. Part of the reason why is Canales. I'm fairly hyped for the dude at this stage. I wasn't the biggest fan of the signing, but like the more I look into it, the more I like it. And the more I feel like he did a whole lot to rejuvenate the career of Baker Mayfield. And also, it isn't talked about enough, but he was working with Geno in the season that Geno had of his resurgence with the Seattle Seahawks. So he went from Geno in Seattle, brought him back up from like the depths of grave, goes to Tampa Bay, does the same with Baker Mayfield as well, brings him out of the grave and gives him a great season. And now he goes to Carolina. And I'm putting my money that they finally, like, he unlocks Bryce Young at this stage.
I hate to say it, but if Bryce Young doesn't get unlocked, I don't think I have any hope for Bryce Young, basically, at that point.
You're going to throw the key in a hole, basically.
Yeah, I don't think they could see.
Bryce. Young has never been locked.
Sold. Sell. Sell, 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 sell. As, what was the guy at Mad Money? I forgot his name. Ah,
yeah.
Sell, 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 sell.
Yeah. George Clooney?
No.
Isn't he the guy? Oh, no. I know who you're talking about. Yeah. But I do not remember it. Yeah, that's it. Jim Cramer. I was thinking about a movie in which I think George Clooney also does things like that, if I'm not mistaken. Which is something, something money. Okay. Next up. Guess we can talk about the NFC East. And this division is kind of weird to me. Because I have the top team and the last team. They are basically like almost the same. Like the best team for me is 9-8. The worst team for me is 7-10. Kind of weird. I didn't expect to be in this situation.
Oh, buddy. I
have the Philadelphia Eagles at 9-8. I have the Dallas Cowboys at 9-8. I then have the New York Giants at 7-10. And I have the Washington Commanders at 7-10.
So you think...
Why am I the way that I am?
Time out. You think that Philadelphia offense and all the improvements they made are going to finish 9-8?
I'm still waiting for the improvements on the defense.
Why? The defense was just fine. They have like a smorgasbord of pass rushers they can send at you.
Didn't they have all of those guys last season? And the result was that they were allowing 30 plus points by the end of the season. Like, if I'm not mistaken, by the end of the season, they were ranked bottom 3 in terms of passing defense.
I think you're crazy.
And they traded away Hassan Reddick. Sure, they got the edge rusher from the New York Jets. Something Myers, if I'm not mistaken, that's the guy that they got. But that's still a downgrade, so they downgraded there. They added Cooper Jean to the secondary and CJ Gardner Johnson, if I'm not mistaken. I'm just not sure that those ads are gonna make like the biggest difference in the world, especially when, if I'm not mistaken, they didn't fire the DC. I'm not mistaken. I will check just to make sure. No, it's still Vic Fangio.
They just came in a bad run. They have one of the best rosters in the NFL. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, the last poll I saw who has the best roster in the NFC, I think the two options were the 49ers and the Eagles. So, like, you think they're going to have all that talent and they're going to... You don't just think it was just a bad half. They just got physically and emotionally exhausted.
I think this is who they are. I think they are a team that has some issues on the inside. Apparently, like, Sirianni's and Hurts' relationship isn't the best at this stage. Sirianni, like... I think people sort of forgot the criticism that he got when he was named the head coach. Then he had that great season in which he went to the Super Bowl, sure. But then he sort of got back to earth this past season. And now, like, people seem to forget that he wasn't an unanimous pick for an head coaching position. I think the offense is fairly stale at times and fairly one-dimensional. And I don't think they did anything to address that. If anything, they lost one of their biggest weapons when it comes to getting those guaranteed first downs by losing Jason Kelce. Sure, they added Saquon Barkley, but I don't think that running back was the main issue that they had in that roster. And I think losing the some of the effectiveness of the brotherly shove or the tush push or wherever is going to be worse for them. Adding Saquon Barkley, like in terms of like what you gain versus what you lose, I think you lose more in that exchange that you sort of made, not by choice, but by force, basically, because Kelce retired. But I think like it's not a net positive that you lose the effectiveness of the tush push and you get Barkley. I don't think that's a net positive, personally.
I'm still
having them win the division. They are tied with Dallas, but they have a better divisional record.
You are, and that also confuses me. How do you have Dallas in only 9 games too?
Why are you surprised that Dallas?
They've won 12 games the last ones.
Yes, and it's like. Now they don't even have a running back. And it's like, you lost Tony Pollard. Now your running back is Zeke. Congrats. Apparently, like, CeeDee Lamb is now holding out until he gets a better deal. I just don't think that this team is... You also lose Dan Quinn as a defensive coordinator as well. So I don't think the defense will be... the same as they were in past seasons. I think Dak is another year closer to maybe falling off at some stage. I think maybe the Klein maybe falling. I mean, it's another year. It's another year that has passed by Dak Prescott. They didn't really have any other wide receivers, so it's still a very one-dimensional offense at this stage. So I don't really think they addressed any of the issues that they had in the previous season.
Dak Prescott is 30 years old. We had Tom Brady play until he was 45. Aaron Rodgers.
You know that's not the norm.
Aaron Rodgers just broke his Achilles and he's almost 40, and we're still like,
I mean, I told you when we last made our AFC show that maybe we're being too optimistic about Aaron Rodgers as well.
I'm just saying, in the current NFL, quarterbacks seem to play longer, and Dak Prescott doesn't have any major injury of note that would make me concerned.
I'm not saying that he's gonna like fall off a cliff and disappear. I'm saying that he is another year closer to maybe falling off.
He's still like 5-6 years away, Alex.
Yes, and now they lost, and I'll name you a few. They lost Tyron Smith, the left tackle, to the Jets. They lost Tony Pollard, the running back, to the Tennessee Titans. They lost Doran Armstrong, the defensive end, to the Commanders. They lost Dante Flower, the defensive end, to the Commanders again. Noah Igbinoghbury, former Miami Dolphins first-round pick, wasn't like a big factor, but was still like a player that they could use for depth and whatnot. They lost him to the Commanders as well. Jonathan Hawkins came to my Seahawks. Neville Gilmore went to the Dolphins. They also cut Michael Gallup and Leighton Vander Esch. So they did lose a lot of pieces. Like, they signed Eric Kendricks. Like, that's the only free agency ad that they had. So they lost a lot of people at this stage. And they only added an inside linebacker, which I'm kind of surprised by. And now you have the whole thing with CeeDee Lamb holding out. Maybe you can see Micah Parsons holding out in the future. There seemed to be some sort of like agitation in the locker room as well, because if I'm not mistaken, like Curse came to the media a couple weeks ago and was basically like calling out Micah Parsons for paying more attention to his podcast than the actual team. So like now there's internal dispute in the team. They lost to DC. They lost a good bunch of their players that were starters this past season. This feels very much like a team that is going to fall off. And even 9-8 seems very, very optimistic on my end.
9-8. Get out of here.
I'm calling it. I think their schedule is pretty tough. I mean, they face the Cleveland Browns, they face the Baltimore Ravens, they face the Detroit Lions, the Niners, the Atlanta Falcons. They still face the Texans, the Bengals. So there are a few very good teams that they're playing here. So I could easily see myself flip a few of these picks. Like, I could see myself putting the Houston Texans ahead of them, beating them when they face on week 11. Flipping the game that I have with the Bengals as well, which I have the Dallas Cowboys winning. So if I flip a few of these games, all of a sudden, like, you're looking at a team that is below 500, and I wouldn't be surprised by that. That's probably my hot take for this season, is that I wouldn't be surprised if the Dallas Cowboys look very much like what we were talking about with the Bills this past episode that we made, and which is like, just think that they are a team that is going to take a step back before they take another step forward.
I think that's crazy.
But you don't seem to agree with any of that, so let me know what you have there on your end.
Okay. I have the Dallas Cowboys winning the division at 12-5. I have the Philadelphia Eagles coming in second at 11-6. I have the New York Giants coming in third at 8-9. And I have the Washington Commanders in the basement at 5-12.
So you really don't like the Washington Commanders?
No. I don't.
Even worse than the Giants?
Yes. So the Commanders have a rookie dual threat quarterback who is described as kind of raw. So, not everyone is Lamar Jackson. And granted, Lamar's sad. If I'm not mistaken, he sat a whole year, midseason, and then he came in for Joe Flacco. But regardless,
he played the last third of the season, I think.
Yeah. But regardless, not everyone, like, dual threats take time because it takes time to get accustomed to cadences and throwing motion and figuring out like when you should throw it and when you should run it. So I don't expect a lot out of the first season for the Commanders, quite honestly. I think they'll be fine moving forward, but I don't have the highest expectations for the Giants, for the Commanders. The Giants winning 8 games is simply because of their schedule. I'm not going to lie. It was a pretty easy schedule, and I still think Brian Daboll is dead in the water with this roster, but they got to do something. If not, sheer desperation.
So I kind of can't really agree with the fact that Jaden Daniels is raw coming back for your like Washington Commanders point, because like the dude was a starter in college for like 5 years, if I'm not mistaken. 3 at Arizona State, 2 at LSU. So I think he has a good amount of games under his belt. Maybe he needs to polish some of his game, but I think at this stage he is like a very NFL-ready prospect, as much as NCAA prospects can be ready for the NFL. But I understand not liking them in terms of like the roster. I'm also like not the biggest fan of Dan Quinn as an head coach. I think when he was an head coach back in Atlanta, I think he was carried heavily by Kyle Shanahan being the OC there. And then you saw after
that's true.
Kyle left for San Francisco, like things sort of took a turn. They never managed to get back to their Super Bowl form. I think there's cause for concern in that regard. But I just think like their schedule is not the strongest. I'm also have them like being very shitting versus teams that win. For example, I have them 1-7 versus playoff teams, 1-7 versus winning teams with a winning record. So they're mostly taking advantage of the teams with losing records and whatnot. But yeah, I understand like liking the Giants more. The Giants more. I just think that you're way too high on the Cowboys, man.
They're America's team. Like,
Yeah, America's team that keeps on choking, buddy.
Well, yeah, granted, yes, they choke, but they get in the position to choke on the national stage. You're saying they're going to win 9 games and be a fringe 500 team, like...
They're also going to be in a position to choke in front of the whole nation because they are making the playoffs,
I don't think 9 games is enough to win this division. I simply don't. I do not...
Hey, I have them in as a wild card team.
I thought you said you had them first. Oh, no, you said you had them first.
No, I have the Eagles first. At 9-8. They're tied. Okay. But Eagles have a better divisional record. Okay, so hot take seems to be that Dallas Cowboys are fairly overrated at this stage.
I think they're a 500 team.
Yeah, because I don't think they're any better than that. Like, they seem to be a very, like, things fell right for them at times last season, and I don't think that will happen this season. Mm-hmm. Like, they have nothing for a running back at this stage. Heck, they might start the season with Jalen Tolbert and Brandon Cooks as their wide receivers if they can strike a deal with CeeDee Lamb. On defense, they also lost a lot of important pieces. I think Trevon Diggs is probably never getting back to the standard that he once had. That was mostly bolstered by the interceptions that he made. Again, I think that was a very much of an outlier season. I don't think he is a great cornerback. I think he's a cornerback that takes a lot of risks. And his ball hawking skills lead to interceptions a lot of times. But I think in a long stretch of time, you're going to get burned by that more than you're going to reap rewards from that, from those actions of him. So I think overall, like, the defense is probably going to take a step back. I think the offense won't be as effective this season, now that they lost a few pieces here and there. So, yeah, I'm just sort of down on them. I'm sort of down on the two big teams from the NFC East. And I wouldn't be shocked if one of the teams like the Commanders or the New York Giants managed to get a sneaky division win.
Oh my god, stop it.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I could see the scenario in my head.
You're crazy.
Hey,
the Commanders or the Giants?
Winning
I don't
division.
Know if I could name 5 players on the Giants.
Like, you could. Come on now.
I probably could, but, like, you get the sentiment. It's,
yeah.
Like, what?
Hey. Don't shoot the messenger. By the way, if you go on your sports book of choice,
my God, no.
The New York Giants have a plus 1100 odd to win the division. Washington Commanders have plus 850 to win the division.
So sportsbook just the Commanders. I agree that the Commanders are a better, like, team, but I don't know if I just think the Giants' schedule is a bit softer. That's just me.
Yeah, I mean, the difference isn't all that much.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you have, like, some pocket change just hanging around, just letting you know, there are options out there.
I am not picking the Giants or the goddamn Commanders to win. Get out of here.
Just saying, there are options. Okay, next up, I think we can talk about the NFC North. So NFC North, I have two teams up top with an 11-6 record. I have the Detroit Lions and I have the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. Both winning 11 games. I think I'm a bit too optimistic on the Packers. Prior to doing this, I was thinking maybe a 9-8 record or a 10-7 record at most. They finish up at 11-6 for me. Not too thrilled about that. follows the Chicago Bears at 8-9. So I'm putting a big improvement on the Bears here. They are now 8-9 for me, and then the last team in the division is the Minnesota Vikings at 6-11.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
Oh boy.
All right. We'll discuss after I get mine, because I have to get this out of here, because I have more hopium than even more hopium than you do. I have the Packers winning this division at 12-5.
Oh boy. And I thought I was high on them.
Nope, I put all the hopium in them. The Lions second in the division at 11-6. I have the Bears third at 10-7. And then last place, the Minnesota Vikings, who I said would be terrible. I have said this multiple times. I have them projected 1-16.
1-16. Holy shit.
I don't have them winning the game in the division.
When is the win? Is it like early season or very late season?
It's like in the middle, if I'm not mistaken. I don't have this pulled up right now. I did it 2 weeks ago.
Oh, buddy. That's very rough for them.
I told you I had them being bad. This is bad.
I just can't see it. After they had the season that they had last season with a revolving door of guys playing QB, I just think that Sam Darnold.
It's low-key going to be like that this year, because Sam Darnold's going to start off. He's going to have hot highs and lows. Then they're going to call for J.J. McCarthy, and then J.J. McCarthy, I'm telling you, the whole saga, Justin Jefferson might actually request a trade because of this season. I'm not going to lie.
Just think that, like, JJ and Sam are just way too many steps ahead of Josh Dobbs and Nick Mullins and the other guy that they drafted last season. Really struggle with that. The Vikings are one of those teams in which I think, like, the start of the season will be fairly tough. I have them winning 2 games until week 13. Then from week 13 onwards, I have them with a 4-2 record. So I think they will end the season fairly strong. But it's just going to be a team that is going to take some... It's going to take some time until the changes come in and play a good factor, a strong factor for them. I think they will end the season with some glimmer of hope for the future, much like a few teams back, like, for example, the Miami Dolphins with Brian Flores. I remember they were one of those teams that didn't win a whole lot, but you could see the improvement from game to game, and eventually they ended the season somewhat strong, not only in terms of record, but in terms of performance and whatnot. And I think that the Vikings will be one of those teams as well here. So I don't need them as much as you do. I don't think the season will be great, but you clearly think that they are going for that number one overall pick next season.
Yep.
Okay, so you have them projected for that. Yikes. I don't know. That seems tough. Like, they have a lot of talent still in this team. But hey, maybe you're right. Would be fun if, like, they win the first game of the season and then went on and just lose every single other game that they have.
That would be so funny, I'm not gonna lie.
Oh. But yeah, like, their away form for me is terrible. I have them going 0-8 away from home. So, just don't think that they will be one of those teams that travels all that well. I also tend to do projections, like, for the numbers and whatnot. I have to start doing that. There's a good website for it. I'll let you know if you also wanna dabble in it. And maybe we can compare it when we talk more about fantasy and whatnot.
Okay.
But I'm interested to see, like, how do I project the whole Vikings offense this season? going to be interesting. But yeah, so we both think that the Lions and the Packers are going to be good. Which record did you have the Bears with? I missed that one.
10-7?
10-7? Yeah. No, okay, so two wins difference.
17 games,
17.
Yep.
Yeah, so fairly close to what I have them. Yeah, I just think that they're going
to
be a team.
The Bears did all this and they still struggled to get to 500.
I mean,
I can see it happening, quite honestly.
I mean, I have them at 8-9 as well, but it's just like I think the improvement is just going to be notable to the point in which like the fans are going to be happy with the season overall. Because it's not going to have the same variation as a Justin Fields season. You're actually going to see a QB that plays good football. Like, the team just overall isn't at that stage to make the playoffs and whatnot, to my eyes. But I think they will see steps forward with this team, with this coaching staff, with this offense. It won't be as many, like, ups and downs, and it won't be, like, some crazy running that makes the offense somewhat passable at times and gets them a win here or there. It's going to be just like a steady offense, steady defense. They're going to play good football and they are going to win football games. I just don't think it's enough for the playoffs, but it's going to be enough to a very solid season at 8-9.
We'll see. I think the chances that this thing goes belly up and it's not what everyone expected it to be or higher than people seem to realize.
I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if, like, things go tits up because, I mean, there's still complaints about Eberflus as an head coach. I'm not the biggest fan of their OC hiring, which was the former Seattle Seahawks OC. I'm missing his name right now. It's the... what's his name? I can only remember the current one, Ryan Grubb. But in 20... Jesus Christ, who was the guy? Oh, Shane Waldron, yeah. I was not the biggest fan of Shane Waldron with the Seattle Seahawks, especially in this late stage of his stint there with the team. I just think that some of the things that he did just didn't work out all that well. Some of the formations that he had didn't work out all that well. And just like overall the timing and the football awareness of knowing what the score was and what you have to do in each situation, I didn't think like it was the best. I didn't think that he had the best situational awareness in general. So I'm not the biggest fan of him.
Isn't that the OC that took you guys to a Super Bowl though?
Shane Waldron? No. I don't think it was Shane Waldron that took us to the Super Bowl back in, which was it, 2019?
16. It was 2016, dude.
16? Oh my God, the time flies.
Yeah, Jesus I know. Christ. That's what I'm saying, too.
No, that was, if I'm not mistaken, it was Daryl Bevel. Could be wrong about that.
That's
2000, yeah, it was Daryl Bevel. He was with the team from 2011 to 2017. Brian Schottenheimer took over afterwards, and then it was Shane Waldron for like two seasons.
Regardless,
yeah. Okay. So, again, Angelo has the Packers as his winning team for the division. Yeah. You can get that as roughly like plus 191 on most of your books. So good value there. They are not the favorites. The Lions are, but it's fairly close. Like the Lions are plus 135 to win the division. So fairly close. Like the Bears are then third and the Vikings are last. Okay. Only one more then. And we have the NFC West.
The NFC was. We'll see. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So, I have the San Francisco 49ers winning the division yet again.
Yep, of course.
Because that's just my luck. It is what it is. I have us second in the division, the Seattle Seahawks,
oh, no.
at 9-8. Yeah. I then have a team that I think I definitely could have been harder on them. And I could have gave them a few losses here and there that I was fairly torn on. I just think that it's a team that is going to take a step back this season. And I have the LA Rams sitting at 8-9, sitting at third in the division. And I have it, the Arizona Cardinals, last in the division at 7-10. So I think it's going to be a year of improvements for them. I just think that overall the team still isn't there. But they are going in a good direction.
Oh, no.
So what do you have for me here?
I have some bad news for you, Alex.
Oh, buddy. That seems like you're trying to tell me that you have the Seattle Seahawks last.
I have the San Francisco 49ers winning the division at 13-4.
13-4?
13-4.
Jesus Christ, dude.
I have the LA Rams second in the division at 11-6.
11-6.
I have the Arizona Cardinals third in the division at 9-8.
9-8? Jesus Christ, how many games do you have us win? Like two?
I have the Seattle Seahawks last in the division at 5-12.
5-12?
5-12.
Jesus Christ, dude. How do we win? How do we lose 12 games here? Jesus Christ. we play the Broncos, the Patriots, we play the Giants.
And then we also play...
Are we going to lose every single one of those games? We also play the Vikings, which you seem to hate.
They might be the only one the Vikings get.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I think you are wrong on the Seattle Seahawks. And that's just not me being biased. I really think you're wrong on us here.
I think...
Like, I can understand 8-9 missing the playoffs. 5-12, like, I just can't see it. I think this team has a lot of talent, and I think McDonald is going to do a pretty good job with us. Like, the offense is fairly good as well. Everyone is healthy, at least right now, knock on wood. And the defense, I mean, we're just adding improvements to the defense as the seasons go on.
I think this team's been artificially inflated for way too long.
How are we artificially inflated?
Because you have Smith as your starting quarterback, Alex. That shouldn't be a team that makes the playoffs or wins more than five, like half the games. But you guys have figured it out somehow. The voodoo magic.
Because he's playing well. It doesn't matter how Geno Smith looked 10 years ago, Angelo.
The voodoo magic.
He is just a solid to okay to good, maybe even on his good days, QB. Like, that's just it. 1 year, sure, you can call it like a lightning in a bottle, whatever. You already have two seasons of him. Like, the first season was obviously much better than this past one, but this one was still fairly good for him. He was still a good QB. Made mistakes that he shouldn't. But again, like, we had injuries that dragged this team down on the O-line that messed up the rhythm. And losing Kenneth Walker is also a major loss as well for us when we did lose him. So I think, like, with everyone healthy, this team is going to be okay to good.
Alex?
Yeah.
Geno Smith won't finish the season as the starting quarterback.
I think you're insane, dude. And I like Sam Howell, but I think you are insane. Like, Geno is the dude. Like, people keep doubting this dude. And he just had, like, two very good seasons back-to-back. One was very good. The other one was okay to average. But, like, the dude is good. He's a good starting QB. He's a solid starting QB. Like, where would you rank right now Geno Smith as a starting QB?
Not in the
top in half. The NFC.
Oh.
In the NFC. Yeah.
Well, there's two or three NFC East quarterbacks better than him.
Two or three NFC East?
Yeah, Dak, Jalen.
How can you even go to... Oh, yeah, because Jaden in the NFC East, Jaden Daniels, he was raw, and that's why the Commanders were only winning five games. But he's better than Geno Smith. Sure, okay.
He is.
Yeah, of course. Like I know that.
Yes, he is going to be a better quarterback than Geno
Smith. I'm asking you who is a better QB. I'm not even confident
saying Daniel Jones is going to be worse.
Like, if I was in charge of the show, that would probably be it for us. I would have probably called it off there. I would have sent the bot packing. But as I'm not in charge... What the fuck? Just like, I mean, you want to talk about like doubting Geno Smith because he only had like one good season and it's voodoo magic for some shit. Although he did have like one good season, one okay season. I mean, that's still more than what Daniel Jones ever had. Like, you can say that he had one okay season and the rest was just a fucking train wreck. But yeah, like Geno Smith is the one that should be doubted. Yeah, not the rookie, not Daniel Jones. That hasn't been playing shit.
I struggle to say he's better.
Right now,
he's not better than Derek Carr.
He's not better. Jesus fucking Christ! You're going to give me something here. What has Derek Carr done in like recent memory that is any better than what Geno Smith has done? Like, outside of in your head that you think that Derek Carr is some sort of, like, savior or whatever. Like, he hasn't done jack shit, dude. Like, everything is wrong with the dude. Plus, Kirk Cousins, sure, if he's healthy, he's better than Geno Smith. But, like, Kirk Cousins out of an Achilles tear? I'm not sure yet. I think, like, if you look at the NFC, there are one, two, three, four guys that you can say for sure are better than Geno Smith.
So last year,
yes,
Derek Carr had a higher completion percentage, more yards.
Great. What's his A dot? Okay.
What?
Now I'm just opening up here for Pro Football Reference because you're making me do all of this to prove a point that a fucking Derek Carr is in nowhere, shape or form better than Karen Geno Smith.
They're close. And they're close. I would take Derek Carr.
Yes, because you are the biggest Derek Carr fan to ever have existed in the face of Earth, Angelo. Okay, we can compare Derek Carr to Geno Smith. So yeah, Geno Smith had two last games. Let's also not forget that he basically missed two games, came back, was hurt. When he came back, so he was that 100% playing. And yet, I mean, he still came back to play. So, yeah, five less passing touchdowns, two less interceptions. When it comes to... I wanted to check something here.
Played more games and had less interceptions.
Yeah, okay, so that's it, right? That's just it, huh? You're just saying, right? Isn't it? Okay, so... Where was it? I'm trying to find, but why can't I find A dot?
They ironically got sacked the same amount of times. Even though Derek Carr played two more games. So Derek Carr got sacked less, technically.
Yes, and Derek Carr was hurried 24 times in his 170 two times that he was blitzed, while Geno Smith was blitzed 145 times, and he was hurried 63 times. So he was pressured on 25% of his dropbacks, while Derek Carr was pressured on 15.3% of his dropbacks. So, I mean, one of the guys was constantly running for his life. The other one had to go, oh, okay, to good pocket. So, yeah, that to me is just a good reflection of what he had in the offensive line. Percentage of pass dropped, Geno Smith, 5.1%. Derek Carr, 2.8%.
Geno Smith get into the Pro Bowl last year. They should have given it to Derek Carr.
Because the NFL is objective about these things, Angelo. Unlike you.
All right, so who else is worse than Geno Smith? Let's go. I wouldn't put him over Brock Purdy. I wouldn't put him over Matthew Stafford. I wouldn't put him over... Yeah, he's the worst quarterback in his division, easily.
He is not... Jesus Christ. He is, like, similar to Matthew Stafford right now.
No,
man. And I think Stafford. He is a better QB than Kyler Murray right now.
No.
Kyler Murray is the worst QB in the division.
No. I think it's Geno.
By a solid bit. I mean, if you think it's Geno, you also think Derek Carr is very good. So, what are we doing here, Angelo?
Let's see. What's the other one? I did the South. I did the East. The North. He's not better than Goff. Not better than Love. Not better than Caleb.
Oh, he's not better than Caleb that you've never seen play. Okay. Yeah.
He's better
than... If Caleb goes out there and looks like shit.
He's better than whoever the Vikings are going to put out there, whether that's Sam Darnold or J.J. McCarthy. I'll give you that.
At least you're giving me that, huh?
Yep.
So, in your opinion, is Bly, the third worst QB in the NFC? Because at this stage, it just seems like you're telling me that Bryce Young...
Fourth or fifth worst.
I mean, I heard that only whoever the Vikings have and maybe Bryce Young are a worse QB than Geno Smith.
And maybe Daniel Jones.
And maybe Daniel Jones. Okay, my bad. Yeah, let's just... forget about the guy that when he was healthy and he played all of the games, by the way, back in 2022, he had over 4,000 yards passing, 30 touchdowns, only 11 interceptions, was considered the AP comeback player of the year, got an NFL MVP vote, if I'm not mistaken. So let's just throw that aside and said that Daniel Jones and Kyler Murray, who, like, just so you know, Angela, we're talking about football, not Call of Duty, not Madden. We're not talking about any of that. It's actual football, like, that you play in the field. So he is also worse than Kyler Murray. I forgot about that. He's also worse than oftly injured Matthew Stafford. Is also worse than a guy that you've never seen take a snap of actual pro NFL football in Caleb Williams and in Jaden Daniels as well. Could I forget? Yeah, of course. He is worse than a guy that basically has one good season in his entirety of his career in Baker Mayfield. He is worse than whatever the Saints currently have that has Derek Carr written on the back of his jersey, because that's most definitely not the Las Vegas Raiders' Derek Carr. And yeah, so he is worse than all of those guys. My bad. When we're sitting here in about 5 months and we are firmly in, like, the hunt for a playoff spot and for the second place in the division. Heck, maybe we're even fighting for the division at that stage. I'm going to need an apology, by the way.
Well, for you guys to be that, Sam Howell's going to have to take over in, like, week two. So That's a good point. I'm not even sure if he's the best quarterback on his own team. Is that the show, Alex? Is that the show, Alex?
That might be the show, because I'm sort of out of words. For you. Not for our listeners. If you manage to keep on listening to all of these crazy things that Angela has been saying about Geno Smith, about the Seattle Seahawks in general. I mean, if you're a Seahawks fan, you should really go heavy on the comments there and tell him why he's wrong, why he's crazy. If you're a Cowboys fan, go off on me. Tell me why you are, why I'm wrong about your
fans and literally millions of Cowboys fans. So I'm gonna win that.
I mean, I couldn't care less as long as they comment there. You can even say Angelo is crazy or Alex is crazy. So go ahead, go off on the comments, do your thing. And make sure to subscribe if you're listening on the Apple Podcasts, on the Spotify app. Make sure to leave us a 5-star rating as well. If you're listening on YouTube, you know what to do. Do all of those good things that grow the engagement. Comments, likes, you know what's up. And follow us on Twitter at No Reserves Radio. And as always, guys, talk to you next week, maybe with a new co-host, because I might have to end Angelo here in a bit.
Oh, you want Adam? You want Code?
No, I'm just going to need someone sane.
Man! Wow. Come on, guys.